This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here is your top stories this Wednesday. The Aspen-Pickens County Housing Authority is weighing several regulation changes. One would significantly increase income limits for renters who are requalifying for their units. That means renters can make more money in the years after they move in without being forced out. APSHA says many renters turn away new jobs or raises in fear of losing their housing. APSHA is also considering allowing people who have worked in Pickens County for just 2 years to participate in housing lotteries. Applicants currently need to work for at least 4 years in Pickens County to qualify. The APSHA board will vote on the regulations on March 18th. Garfield County Planning Division staff recommended the Garfield County Board of County Commissioners deny the approval of Harvest Roaring Fork LLC's application to build a 1,500-unit subdivision along Highway 82 between Carbondale and Glenwood Springs. The decision was posted February 19th as part of the agenda for the public hearing scheduled for today. The recommendation for denial was based on numerous factors, including concerns and noncompliance issues related to the developer's proposed housing density and plans for commercial usages, water, wildlife, affordable housing, public transportation access, and impacts to traffic and other public infrastructure. The public hearing is scheduled for today at 6 p.m. at the Colorado Mountain College Spring Valley campus in Glenwood Springs. Aspen-based nonprofit EcoFlight took more people up in the air than ever before in 2025. Aspen Public Radio's Reagan Mertz has more on its goals for 2026.
EcoFlight promotes conservation in the West by taking groups of students, journalists, and state legislators up in the air. They show their passengers a different perspective of the land and the issues threatening it, from drought in Lake Powell to gas wells popping up on the western slope. EcoFlight founder Bruce Gordon says the flights instill a reverence for the landscapes.
And the best part of it is, you know, you're not speaking out one way or another, and they're pointed in ways that they can educate themselves.
He says legislators have been threatening public lands with policy changes for years. It's not just the Trump administration. Findings in the Environmental Protection and Clean Water Acts were eliminated just this month. But Gordon says they'll continue to fly as many people as possible this year, focusing on young adults to get them involved in advocacy earlier. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Reagan Mertz.
EcoFlight took off more than 400 times in 2025. Their pilots were in the air almost every day. In statewide news, state lawmakers are pushing back against federal efforts to keep a coal plant open in Northwest Colorado. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
The Trump administration ordered the coal plant in Craig to stay open the day before it was scheduled to close. The Craig 1 plant was closing for economic reasons and to help fulfill state clean energy goals. A Democratic bill would mandate advanced pollution controls at coal plants and create low-cost financing to pay for it. The proposal would also require public transparency about the costs of running coal plants past their retirement dates. Representative Jenny Wilford is a main sponsor.
What we're trying to do is make it really clear how much this is costing taxpayers in the state. This is so unprecedented, right, for the Trump administration to intervene in a state's ability to set our own clean energy future and our own goals.
The owners of the plant have asked the Trump administration to reverse the order, and Colorado's attorney general is challenging it in federal court.
That was Roy Solomon reporting for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. A bipartisan bill to try to put guardrails on how law enforcement uses license plate reader cameras moved ahead in the state Senate over the objections of law enforcement groups, cities, and Colorado's district attorneys. For the Colorado Capital News Alliance, Benta Berkland has more.
The bill would require law enforcement to delete flock camera data after 30 days, unless there's an ongoing investigation. It would also require a warrant to access data in many cases. The bill also puts more restrictions on data sharing with law enforcement in other states and federal agencies. Sheriffs and police and all of Colorado's prosecutors say it's too restrictive and doesn't reflect realistic timelines for investigations and will make it harder to solve crimes. Backers say it's about being pro-constitution and pro-privacy, and they don't want mass surveillance. It next heads to the Senate Appropriations Committee.
That was Benta Berkland for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. Denver is set to pause data center development after the mayor joined calls for a moratorium earlier this week. CPR Sam Brash has more.
Alfonso Espino is an organizer for the GES Coalition, a North Denver community group. Over the last few months, he's been pushing to stop CoreSite, a Denver-based developer, from expanding a data center campus in the area. He thought it'd be tough to get Denver Mayor Mike Johnston on board, but...
The mayor stepped in last second and said that he would support it. So from my view, it cleared all the political barriers from passing a moratorium in the next couple of months.
A pause wouldn't permanently block new data centers, but it would give Denver time to pass regulations to limit their water and electricity usage. I'm Sam Brash, CPR News.
And in regional news, a group of lawmakers is raising concerns about the rollout of the U.S. Wildland Fire Service, which officially launched in January. The Mount West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports.
The 11 senators and representatives, all Democrats, say that the consolidation of four Department of Interior agencies' wildfire programs is being done, quote, without adequate analysis, transparency, or planning to prevent disruption. Interior says that any claim of wildfire operations being disrupted is false. In a letter to Interior leadership, they asked for implementation to be delayed until Congress is given answers to 13 questions. They include what the pay structure will be for service personnel and who will make resource decisions during a fire.
These are reasonable questions to ask. They're good questions to ask. That's not to assume that there hasn't been significant thinking that's already gone into some of the answers.
That's Tyson Bertoni-Riggs, co-founder of the Alliance for Wildfire Resilience, a policy nonprofit. He hopes the administration and agencies open lines of communication with Congress. He'd also like to see more participation from local, state, and tribal authorities. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, Sage Smiley, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.